Hello, this is episode 82 of the Guardian. Did I get you with that opener?
You did.
Oh, this is episode 82 of the Guardian Project podcast, and I'm your host, Andy, your trusty bio-waste blob.
Bio-waste blob? Oh, I understand the holidays and there's food involved.
I'm down 3 pounds, though, in like a week, but I think I just didn't eat as much as I did.
You're bio wasting away is what's happening.
Yeah.
And I am your other host, Mike Coyle, and I just want to say Happy New Year. And Andy, congratulations on completing your year of 365.
Thank you.
You really show that where there's a will, there's a way, as opposed to Commander Legends that showed us where there's a will, there's a legendary card that you can probably play as your commander.
A will?
Yeah, like Tzavat's will, Sakashima's will, the Chroma's will.
Or just will Rowan.
Please listen carefully.
Will and Rowan.
You just play Will.
That's true. You could do that.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
So I did complete my 365 games last year.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was a lot of work. I'd like to thank all of our listeners who helped me get there. And this is the first show of 2021.
It is.
It's not 2020 anymore.
Thank goodness.
I had to go make a withdrawal at the bank today, and I almost wrote 2020, and I did not. I got the year right on the first time I had to write it.
Nice. I actually had to go into work on New Year's Day, and they have to sign, because when I go into work, I got to sign a thing that says, you know, no COVID, blah, blah, blah. And I got the year right on the first time there.
I'm so proud of you.
1-1. 1-1-2-1.
What? Oh, I didn't go in on 1-1.
Oh.
I mean, today's 1-4.
See, it was a little bit more recording. I feel like it's more challenging for you because I had it on my mind, like 1-1.
1-1.
I knew it.
9-9. Brooklyn 99? No.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway, so I rang in the new year with my villagers in Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. which that was actually a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
And you caught the bug again, not literally and figuratively.
Yeah, I've got 2 million tied up in turnips. So all of my money is in vegetable stocks right now. Mm-hmm. I am hoping to offload those on an island that is not asking me to pay, 3 Nook Miles tickets or like 17 gold nuggets every time you want to show up.
I mean, I could be your sugar daddy.
You need to have an island that has good turnip prices then.
I'll just give you, I know I'm sitting on like 10 million bells right now and like 176,000 Nook Miles or something like that.
I think I'm sitting on 6,000 bells now.
Oh.
Total. That's my life savings in there now. Otherwise, it's just turnips. So I got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But I did go back to work this week. I had 2 weeks off. It was really nice having that vacation. I did end up reading a book. Or some of it, I did read a Star Wars book from a certain point of view. Mm-hmm. So that was really cool. That was suggested to me by actually Davey, who has been on our show, Dave Kosin, who has actually streamed with us as well. And I organized some cards. I took apart some decks. But I already finished one of our New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I heard about it.
It's been a whole week, mm-hmm. and I did it. I guess I'm not finished. I can still get more. But I was at one of our LGSs picking up a couple of cards. And I said, well, all I needed is those mist sleeves. And one of the magic guys goes, what color? And I said, mist. Mm-hmm. He goes, and he like turns around and goes, oh, yeah, there aren't. And I go, yeah, I know you. Like, I would have bought them all out. And he goes, oh, I have two unopened cases at home. And I go, okay. Yeah. So he could only find one.
Okay.
So he brought the one in. And he goes, I'm still looking. I might have a second. But I got that for $90.
That's a good deal.
10 boxes.
That's a good deal. Just
that's a really good deal.
Just like regular prices. For regular, they make them now, sleeves.
I mean, aren't the, like getting a box of Dragon Shields is like $11 or $12, right? I mean, just getting an individual box. So that was really cool though. You know, support your LGS. So I felt really good doing that. So now I snapped those up so fast. And
do you open them yet?
No, because I have 9 other boxes, boxes. So I have 19 boxes of mist. But I don't know. I mean, this is until they reprint mist.
Well, there's that,
which they might never do. Right. So this is it for my entire magic career.
When you unwrap that sealed thing, I want you to set it up as a display because it's so like I got the same thing with my Petrol sleeves, and setting it up as a display just kind of like feels super nice.
Does it have the thing where it full, like the, yeah, there's a back and it says like Dragon Shield?
It's, and it's a dragon. It's like the little dragon icon guy.
Oh, it pops up?
Yeah.
See, I've never actually bought a full case of Dragon Shield sleeves before. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. So yeah, we did that. And then we started talking about some upgrades we're going to make to our Discord, mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. week. So what we think we're going to do, and just sharing with all of you now is, we're likely going to be changing up the Discord a little bit, creating a patron only channel or a couple or a series of channels in the Discord, and then opening up our Discord to the public so mm-hmm. that, the benefit of Discord still remains, using that for, organizing games, priority organization, swag, mm-hmm. you know, gameplay, discussions just with patrons. So, we're looking to do that obviously in the next, I don't know, couple of weeks couple or something. Weeks. Yeah. So we'll start working on that, but that's our upgrade. And, we've had a lot of folks joining that, lots of discussion online about how great our Discord server is. So that feels really good.
Thank you getting for tagged. All the kind so words.
Thank you, everybody.
But really thank you to our community to make it that humbling community space thing.
We've got like a welcoming committee. Anytime yeah. someone comes in, we've got like 2, 3, 4 people welcoming them. So that's really exciting. Yeah. And they're beating me to it. So I was like, well, this is exactly what we wanted. That's everybody right. just hanging out together. So, if you would like to join our community or become a patron, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount.
Yeah, and if you're looking for any other way to support the podcast, whatever you're listening to the podcast on now, or if you're watching it on YouTube, if you could like, comment, subscribe, it really helps us. Any notes that you can give us, we want to make the podcast better for you. So, you know, feel free to send us some notes, some things that you would change or whatnot. You know, we're always looking to review and become better. So please do so.
Yes. And I don't know what else I was going to say there. I was going to add something and then I lost it.
It's things happen.
Yep.
We'll draw you a map next time.
Moving on. Coyle, what are we talking about this week?
We got one thing to talk about this week. One whole subject.
Is it about someone that's really cool?
I'm not going to answer that question.
The answer is yes.
We're going to talk about, how about this? We're not going to talk about one thing. We're going to talk about 365 things.
All right.
Every single game we're going to go through in order, every game that you've ever played this last year. No. So, Andy, you recorded all of your games for the year 2020. You were able to complete the 365 day challenge.
I did.
From what I understand, it may be more than 365, you were able to complete it and recorded all of your matchups and everything so that we could take a deeper dive.
Yeah.
Into the data.
Into the data.
I feel like EDH track. It's like, we're going to dive into the data. Challenge some stats.
I don't know. I'm excited to see though what, I'm excited to share. I guess I'm not excited to see because I've seen it. I'm excited to share what I've learned. And it really has been an eye-opening experience about, I guess, to know or to have seen what I can adjust or what the outcome of my decks has really been.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're ready to, what's the word? I don't know the word.
You want to skip? You want to hop? You want to jump? You want to fly?
Analyze?
Let's menace.
You want to analyze it? Walk.
We can analyze into it.
Let's analyze into it. 365 games, Coyle, is the number of games that I said I was going to play in the year 2020. And I did it. And then on day 366 of the year, I was advised that it was a leap year and I needed to play another game.
Mm-hmm. Did you record the dates or anything for these games?
I did not record dates. It's something that when we get into it, we're going to talk about things that we want to change. I did not record dates, and it would have been interesting to see how many I played real early on mm-hmm. versus how many I had to cram into the month of December.
I just wanted to see if you played a game on February 29th this year or not.
Let's see what, it's not this year anymore, Coyle.
That was last year. It is now last year.
It is last year. So if we look at February 29th, that was a Saturday. So it's likely that I played a game.
Mm.
It's very likely that I played a game.
Then you played on leap year day, leap day, leap day,
leap day. So, this year, I would say that, oh wait, this is a good one. It was my triumphant reckoning.
Oh,
that I completed this challenge. Nice. That I completed this challenge. So I didn't do 365. I did 366. Mm-hmm. And I actually do think that it may have been more than 366. And it was just that I did not record some of my games because looking at some of these specific decks, I know I played them more times than are actually recorded.
Right.
So it's entirely possible that maybe I even cracked 400.
You know,
I don't know.
There are some games that you just don't want to remember. So I totally understand.
There are. So let's start with, you know, where do we want to start? Let's start with my overall, this is the fun one. A lot of people were very interested in learning about my, and we've discussed this before, trying to figure out what a good win ratio is, but mm-hmm. overall, my win ratio was 39% of the time I won a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, I mean, I think that's good. It's better than 1 in 4. And is 1 in 4 too many? I don't know.
Is 25% win rate too many wins?
I don't know, Coyle.
Is that, I was kind of just clarifying if that's what you were asking.
That's what I'm asking. Is 25% too high?
I think
1 in 4. That's great. It'd be nice to win 1 in 4, but
I mean, that's supposedly, and this is supposedly, I'm putting air quotes up for everyone who's listening, which is everyone, cause we're not recording these video. It's the perfect percentage to win 25% of the time in the same group of four playing the same power level of deck so that everyone wins an equal amount of time.
Right.
Sure. Some people play group hug where they just make one person win.
Group hug, or group hug likes to come in second and see the shenanigans that ensue. Right.
So it'd be interesting to see how many times they come in second.
Yeah.
There's a lot to say. We're going to talk about refining the statistics too.
We are.
Later on.
So now... Overall win rate,
39%.
39%.
I mean, it's not 50%. So no one can really come at you for being like a.
Oh, that I was gamer. Stomping, yeah, any stomping. Any yeah. Right. Well, and there's a lot of factors obviously that play into this
for sure.
So we'll talk about those. But what's interesting is my win ratio changes depending on the number of people in the pod.
Mm-hmm.
So if you break all of these out, and you say specifically when I have a pod of four. I played 287 games where I had a pot of four. Okay. My win rate was 33% when I had four people in the game. If I played a pot of three, I did 77 games where I had three people in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I won 60% of the time. So I went up significantly mm-hmm. when I had one less person. And then in 1v1, I played two. I played two 1v1 games. I had 100% win rate.
Wow. But wow.
I am the champion.
Now, did you play with the quote unquote official 1v1 rules and take Sol Ring out of your deck before that game?
Honestly, I don't know if Sol Ring was in it. Okay. It was Tulsimir, Friend to Wolves.
Okay.
So I was playing a Selesnya fight deck mm-hmm. against a Joyra suspend deck. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they were matched. Neither of them were particularly powerful. We were just waiting. This was in the before COVID times.
Oh, yeah.
We were waiting for people to like get to the, we were playing Magicka at someone's house and it was just the two of us. So we were playing while we were waiting
mm-hmm.
and the games go way faster when it's 1v1.
That's true.
So win percentage here, I think is pretty reasonable knowing what I was playing and how I was playing.
Right. So the change in percentage from pot of four to pot of three, what does that mean? If you're better in a pot of three than a pot of four, does that mean most of your like win conditions and stuff or your value engines don't really depend on every player's turn? You know, it's more about your turn and less people means less to take out.
I'm wondering if it's Coyle wasn't in all the games.
I don't think I was in like pretty much any of the three player pods. Maybe I think one.
I think you were in all of the ones that were the pinata games, which I think there were three of those.
That's true.
Right. So remember, I talk about those.
Yep.
So you were in those.
Mm-hmm.
So those were a variant, you know, a commander variant. Mm-hmm. You were in some of the three player pods.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that it might be that I have less folks trying to deal with me.
That's true.
Not that I think I'm playing anything that's bananas, but it's just when you have one less person who might have a removal spell,
mm-hmm.
I have a better chance of, like when I was playing earlier this year, I was playing the Locust God significantly more than I played it the second half of the year because it's just something that I would play in a higher power with, sure, with friends or at our LGS. Mm-hmm. So let's start with some background, right? So the first half of the year, we didn't have COVID for the first 3 months. I wouldn't say first half, for the first 3 months, sure, right? So we had January, February, and maybe like a week or two into March. And mm-hmm, it was like, everybody went home. I think I was at almost 150 games then, because I was playing at Commander Leagues. I was playing with our folks at our LGS, and I was playing with our friend group. Right. Okay. So I was probably playing like 10 to 15 games a week. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm, just, it was a lot. But the Commander Leagues, I was playing decks specifically to win. That right, was the point.
Right.
So when we actually talk about the specific decks that I play, the win percentages are much higher with some of the decks than they are with others. And I think it's because those decks were specifically built to win.
Right.
And not just that I think the let's say the Locust God is just overpowered, or I played it against weaker decks.
Yeah, it's optimal.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was the point. That was the point. Mm-hmm. And not specifically to say, oh, how often does the Locust God win? That was, it can do it.
Sure.
And here's how that came out. And then I think the other big thing to note here is that I started playing games of Commander online with lots of people that I had never met.
Mm-hmm.
And I changed. First off, we took out cards that don't work well online.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not playing cards that nope, steal things off the top of people's libraries. Right. We're not playing cards that search through people's libraries and grab a card. I mean, they might be in there, but I took many of those out. So I also changed the way that I played for webcam Magic.
Right.
So some of my decks did actually have cards removed to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So, So win percentages were a lot of fun, and I played 47 different commanders this year.
It's pretty awesome.
They're not all mine though. So some of these decks were my husband's. Some of them we were playing at the LGS, and someone said, "Hey, I know you only brought these two decks this week, but maybe those two are a little too strong. Can you play this deck of mine? There's a Morophon deck in here that I played, and it's a Morophon God tribal okay, deck."
I was going to ask you about that one, actually.
I don't own a Morophon. I don't have a Morophon deck. So that's what that deck is.
Mm-hmm.
I also have Aven Wind Guide on here because we played some Pauper Commander this
mm-hmm,
year.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have one game logged, and I know we played at least two.
We did play two. I think they're on YouTube.
I don't know if they're... Are they both on? No. I don't think either of them were done for our channel.
No, but maybe the Twitch VODs. Maybe we have to go back and find.
We'll have to look, but I only logged one of them, which so I know for a fact, and this is the reason why, I know for a fact I missed that logging at least one game.
Right.
And there's a chance that I missed more because I was writing down notes and bringing them back. When I started playing online, I could just type it while we were playing.
Right.
So, you know, Do you want to know what commander I played the most? Or why don't you tell everybody what commander I played the most?
I'm very proud that the number one commander is half of the best color in Magic the Gathering.
It's half black?
It's half black and half green. What a wonderful combination with Golgari. And in fact, even tied to Golgari, the guild.
The guild.
Jerahd.
Golgari Lich Lord.
He is a Lich Lord of the Golgari.
I played my Jerahd deck this year 26 times.
It's a good amount of games.
It is. And I feel like I understand the deck. You mm-hmm. know, I feel like I know exactly what it's supposed to do. I played it enough times now that I know what cards to grab if I am playing a tutor.
Mm-hmm.
I know what cards not to throw in my graveyard now if I know someone has a Bajuka Bog in hand. I mean,
I've
seen things this year. And so I think I figured out how to play it. And this deck has a 50% win rate. I won 13 games and I lost 13 games. This deck, I feel, is one, probably one of my favorite decks that I own.
Mm-hmm.
This was a deck that I built last year at the end of the year I built it in 2019 at the end of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
And I started playing it in 2020 and it's a deck that I win by flinging a giant creature.
Right.
So I'm playing Phyrexian Dreadnought. I'm playing, Night Howlers. I'm playing,
Wall of Blood.
Yep. I'm playing just big Lord of Extinction,
mm-hmm.
and I'm paying 3 mana and sacrificing it, and then each of my opponents takes X damage where X was that creature's power.
Yep.
So Jerad is in a sense a combo deck.
Sure.
So I do run a couple of tutors. Mm-hmm. And with the Phyrexian Devourer, I can hold priority, keep exiling cards until its power is really high, mm-hmm. and sacrifice it. And I don't think that this is one of those decks that creates any sort of feel bads because it takes everyone out at one time.
That's true. That's true.
Which is one of the things that I like about this deck and one of the reasons I keep gravitating back to it. Mm-hmm. Because if I get it, the game's just over and mm-hmm. I'm not making one person lose. I'm not Voltron. I'm not... You know, I think this is a great deck.
Yeah. The one thing I actually like that I really like about this deck compared to maybe other combo decks is that if it's not comboing out to win, it's not doing nothing. It's still doing stuff in the game. You can still affect the board. I think you still play your Vorinclex in there that you can reanimate just to hose everyone down for a turn before someone removes it. You get a little bit ahead, get a little bit of mana, make a little bit happen. It's never not doing nothing.
Right. I mean, I remember one game I played. It was early because I remember it was at our kitchen table. So mm-hmm. it was real early on this year. And I threw it in the graveyard and you reanimated it. And I was like... Oh no. And you said, you should not throw that in the graveyard until you're ready to reanimate it. And I said, yeah, well, I've made that mistake and now I will remember.
Yeah.
So the deck that I've played the second most mm-hmm. was surprising is Nakia of the Old Ways. Played it 22 times, 45% win rate. I won 10 games and I lost 12.
I have not played against this deck many times.
I think you played against it once, like on stream.
I think it's been more than once. I think. I'm pretty sure.
I don't play it very often now. I think when I make a new deck, I play it a ton.
Right.
And then you go on to the new thing. But this is a deck that I would leave together as well. It plays just huge things.
Yeah, Gruul huge stuff.
This one, I mean, I've got that Nyx Bloom Ancient.
Mm-hmm.
I got that. I think there's a Vorinclex in there.
There is?
I'm so sorry. I have two decks now with Vorinclex in it.
Well, you have the mana doubling Praetor. Let's just say that. The mana doubling Praetor.
Yeah, and then it's not a feel bad.
Right. Then you don't feel bad about it.
And that is a deck that has like the Wolf Run from Innistrad. Oh, why can't I think of the name? It's the Gruul, and you pay X and a red and a green. It gets plus X plus O and trample.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good land. Comes in untapped.
It does. And then it plays Magus of the Candelabra to untap your lands once you're doubling them.
Kesig Wolfrun.
Kesig Wolfrun, thank you. Mm-hmm. It's playing Magus of the Candelabra, who untaps your lands when Nakia's out. You're getting an extra mana. If you have out Regal Behemoth or you have out a Nyx Bloom Ancient, you have so much mana in Nakia. The one thing that I have found with Nakia, though, is that if Nakia gets removed,
yeah,
I'm almost dead in the water.
Unless you have that one really special card, that sorcery that you run, the one sorcery that you run in the deck.
Yeah. And why can't I think of the name of it?
I can never think of the name of it either.
Yeah. It's
9 CMC. Put your deck on the battlefield as long as it's permanence.
Yeah, I was hoping you weren't going to ask because I was going to have to go look it up now. I specifically was avoiding it because I was like, Coyle's going to ask me about this and I'm not going to know the name of it. So I'm just going to go to my Nakia deck. I'm just going to pull it up while we're talking right now.
Right.
And I can tell you exactly what the card is. And while I do that, I'm going to vamp because I'm on Archidect. Very, very great website.
Super great website.
That tracks all of my cards.
Which, by the way, Archidect got an update very recently where they fixed Chromatic Piper. So now you can use Chromatic Piper and it has all of the correct like color identities and stuff for it. Oh, so that's cool.
Wonderful. And the card that I'm looking for is Primal Surge.
Yeah, Primal Surge.
So I'm playing Primal Surge for 10 mana. I can exile a top card of my library. If it's a permanent, put it onto the battlefield if you do repeat this process. So Nakia does not allow you to cast non-creature spells. So you're just playing a bunch of, you know, big stuff, doubling your mana. And then if Nakia's not out, you just play Primal Surge and you put everything onto the battlefield. You've got the red Praetor that's giving everything haste. I think there's two or three options that are permanents that are just giving everything haste.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone removes one, you've likely got a backup.
Mm-hmm.
It is one deck though, where you can in fact draw out of your deck on accident because, like Beast Whisperer and other cards, things that, when a creature comes in, is it Primal Sage? Something Sage.
Yeah.
Yet when a creature comes in, you draw, and it's like you have to stack your triggers because otherwise you accidentally just lose. So I think I only ever flip like it is one where I don't turn my deck upside down.
Okay.
I do have to do it one by one.
Gotcha.
So that's been a lot of fun. Continuing though, to round out the top 10, we'll go ahead and do, 8 more here. We've got the Locust God, 17 games, Nekara and Yannick, 16 games, Lysolde the Blood Witch, 16 games, Voril of the Hulkclade, 15, Omnath, Locus of Rage, 15, Sigarda, Heron's Grace, 14, Niv-Mizzet Reborn 14, and then Tesa Karlov 12.
Which your Tesa Karlov deck is
no more.
Supposedly the perfect win percentage.
25%.
25% on the nose. 3-9.
It is.
But I actually like the picks of your Niv-Mizzet Reborn deck at like 35% win percentage. I think that's...
It's a Maze's End win con deck, and it makes me really proud to see 35% of the games I played won. And it does not have Reshape the Earth in it.
It has a lot of really good control pieces in there in the two color combinations and good card advantage. It's a very, like, where you're playing quote unquote suboptimal spells because they have two colors rather than one or three or something like that. And yet, because of the card advantage of Niv-Mizzet, it just makes the deck so good for what it is. And 35% win rate sounds about right.
35% win rate. So now we do have a couple of decks here that have some really, really high win rates. So let's talk about the one that actually has the highest win rate. It's my Pauper deck. Aven Windguide has 100% win rate because I played one game, I won the game with it, but I'm pretty sure it's a 50% win rate because I lost the next game I played with it.
That is correct.
But I didn't track it, so I have to go find where it was. So I know we have at least 367 games.
Yep.
But after that, so my top 10 win percentage decks, though, Aven Windguide, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Jota, Archmage Eternal, 75% of the time it wins.
Mm-hmm.
Edric, Spymaster of Tress, 72%.
Mm-hmm.
Heliod, Sun Crown, 71%. Liza, Shroud of Dusk, 66%. Hapatra, Vizier of Poison, 60%. The Locust God, 58%. Omnath, Locus of Rage, 53%. And then Jerahd, 50%.
Yep.
So
I think the Edric, Spymaster of Tress one is the most impressive of all of those. It is the one like highest percentage to most games, 11 games played. 72.73% win percentage. This is one that you played at LGS, though, in more competitive pots.
Yeah, so I would bring Edric to both our commander, to both commander leagues at both shops. So Edric, Spymaster of Trust is just playing a bunch of elves and rogues that cost one or two mana. Edric might be one of the highest CMC cards in the deck, other than the win condition, which is you loop infinite turns.
Yep.
So you're playing a bunch of dorks, and then you're drawing a ton of cards, and then you're playing cards like Notorious Throng to make creatures take an extra turn. I mean, you're playing almost all the extra turn spells, and then you're playing the extra turn spells like Beacon of Tomorrows that shuffles back into your library, so in case someone tries to get rid of it or makes you discard or whatever it is. And then Nexus of Fate, same deal. That deck is very strong, and the ability to avoid taking damage because someone else is like, if I could just draw two cards.
Yeah.
You don't need to. You need to kill me.
Right.
Just take me out.
Yeah.
And that's how I would get lucky. And so the problem is sometimes you've got cards that make it extremely easy for you to get mana very early in that deck, and Beastmaster Ascension making your creatures base power and toughness, or they get +5/+5.
Yep.
It just, when you've got like 13 one ones that all become 5/5s in like a single swing on maybe even turn 6, you take out the person who's your worst, you know, your worst enemy there, or in the color that can wipe you, and then you just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Edric's been fun. Joda's interesting because I only played 8 games. I won 6 of them and I lost 2. This is a Super Friends deck. And I feel like of these 8 games, I probably played Omniscience 4 times.
Yeah, no, or every time.
No, it's not every time.
It seems like it.
But sometimes it's Tamiyo's ultimate.
True. And that's just Omniscience in a different way. It's always an Omniscience.
It's always an Omniscience. But this is not Joda, like, 5-color good stuff. And I don't know which one's better, honestly. I feel like I wanted a Planeswalker deck, but I stopped playing it online because the games go really long.
Right.
And you become the arch enemy. And then all you do is you board wipe. And I, you know, knowing now what I didn't necessarily know at the beginning of the year, I don't like playing games when my board is wiped 7 turns in a row. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunately what Joda can do.
Sure.
And tends to do. You got Niv's Disc that doesn't take out Planeswalkers. Mm-hmm. You got Supreme Verdict, still doesn't take out everything's just not taking out the Planeswalkers. And that incremental advantage that you're getting from having 4 of them on the battlefield, even 3. And a lot of the Planeswalkers draw you cards that I'm playing so that I can make sure I get to those stupid board wipes.
Right. But you're not playing like Annihilation where you destroy basically all non-Planeswalker permanents.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that.
So it's not evil.
It could be worse. It could be worse. But this is a deck that I was foiling out. So that was fun. Heliod Suncrowned is also built as a combo deck. Mm-hmm. So I noticed it had a pretty good win rate. Of the 7 games I played, I won 5 of them for 71%. Mm-hmm. Because I'm playing the Walking Ballista combo. So you just give it lifelink, you have enough counters on it, and then you just kind of go for it. I'm playing cards like Silence to make it so people can't cast things on it. Grand Abolisher, so you just can't interact with it. Mm-hmm. This deck, I do feel I may have been playing a bit overpower in some of the games.
But it's mono white. I mean, you're trying it out.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to try it out. And then, you know, I got that lovely Lysolde deck. I played it 16 times. I won 10 times. This deck is a high power deck. Mm-hmm. So I did build that one. I am playing cards like Yawgmoth's Will. I'm playing the World Gorder Dragon combo. I've got a backup of Twin Flame Dual Caster Mage. Mm-hmm. It's got all the combos you can, or all of the tutors you can think of. But I specifically won't play it unless I'm playing high power. I actually got to join a CEDH stream with Mental Misplay a couple months ago. I brought this on. People seem to really like to see it. So it was really fun to play these decks. And I did not know that these were going to be the decks that had the highest win rate. Now I know. But the bottom 10? The ones that had no wins. Mm-hmm. Which is, do we want to do no wins or maybe no wins that you had to have played at least 5 games? I don't know. Let's just do the ones that had almost no wins. So I played someone else's Morrifon deck, no wins. Maloku, the Cloud of Mirror, no wins. Masquer Girl, Korvold, which is funny because my Korvold deck was an upgrade to the precon. The Brawl deck. Gavi, Nest Warden, Lord Windgrace, Edgar Markov, Teza Orzhov, Sion, Torbran, and Tibor and Lumia. Or I guess Torbran and Tibor and Lumia both had 1 win. Mm-hmm. So I played Torbran 9 times, only won once.
Yeah, that's because it's just a huge target.
Yeah,
it's a very threatening.
People don't like to get burned out. I guess
people want their games to last more than 20 minutes.
Although it's kind of fun though when you do have a bunch of stuff out and you're like, oh, we're all at 19 and it's turn 5. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. Tibor and Lumia is my Izzet Spellslinger deck. It's not very good. That's one that I think needs to be significantly upped power level wise. It's this one I feel like I played under power all the time. Because I haven't figured it out yet.
Right.
The rest of them I didn't play enough games, so they really shouldn't count. I mean, most of these had 1 or 2 games, but I also think I played less of them because I did not enjoy the playstyle. Lord Windgrace, I played a lot more in 2019.
Yep.
I played Edgar Markov a lot in 2019. And I took those apart. Beloku the Cloud of Mirror is a combo deck. It's also mono blue, so it gets targeted early, even though it's not necessarily doing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And the way that you win is through extra turns and then getting one single like spirit and it's not, or illusion. Mm-hmm. And it's not fast. No. So, I avoided playing that.
It is interesting to see that the lower win percentage, commanders that you have are kill on sight commanders though.
They are.
So I can understand, you know, just the face card being a threat. People going, oh, we're going to take you out first then.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did not see that coming. So, Also, one thing to note is I never played a pod of more than four people.
Thank goodness. So
I can't do it. It adds an extra hour to the game.
Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, the one person that's trying to combat has four counter spells being held against them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one person who's trying to win with commander damage gets their commander exiled seven times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the game goes on until turn 19.
Yep.
And with five people, I don't have time for a 3-hour game. I'll be honest.
Right.
I would like to say I don't have that much time to play, but I prioritized this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have much time to do anything else.
That's true.
This past year.
Very true.
So, I did not have time for many 3-hour or 3-hour plus games.
Right.
Although some of them did occasionally happen. I was like, we are still here.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Now, I do have to ask you, though, about two particular commanders
Okay. And
two particular games with these commanders.
Oh, okay.
One game with Feather the Redeemed and one game with Rona, Disciple of Gix.
Okay.
A draw.
Okay, so I had two draws.
Yep.
This whole year. Both of those were we were at an LGS and we were playing games in between rounds and we ran out of time.
Okay. So they weren't
actual draws. Loss. There was no actual draw.
Okay.
In any of these. There is that card. It's a white card. When the last counter is removed from it, the game ends in a draw. Someone did play that at our LGS as like a lull deck. And it was fun seeing it happen a couple of times, but I was never in the pod. But no, none of my games were actual draws. It was simply timing there. It was simply timing. So there's also a couple of decks here that it does show that I play, with some pretty terrible, terrible rates here. One of them being my Muldrotha deck, but it was my boxing league. Thank you. I was gonna say commander league. It was my boxing league deck. So I was playing with a limited card pool already, and I just didn't get there.
Right.
I mean, won once.
Yeah. It is what it is. It's a special circumstance, depending on what you open and all that kind of stuff. It had nothing to do with next to nothing to do with deck building ability. And that
yeah.
Kind of
so,
stuff,
so, so I played it five times. I won once for a 20% win rate. I mean, honestly, 20% is not so bad either. But Feather the Redeemed, funny enough, you say that, my Feather deck does not have a very good win rate. Or actually, I guess it does. I'm looking at it. I played eight games and I won four of them.
Yeah.
So I guess that is a very good win rate. I stopped playing it as much as I was because I did not build mine as Feather Voltron. I built it as creature tokens.
Right.
And if you just take out the two things that are making the tokens, my deck does nothing.
Right.
It's actually memorialized on stream most of the time doing nothing. Yeah. So you can go find those videos on YouTube. And the funny thing is every time I was playing it, everybody in chat was rooting for me. They were like, "Are you going to get something?" And I was like, "It's another mountain. It's another nothing. It's another nothing good." But I do like my odds. Another 50%er here, Zindersplit and Oaken coin flips.
Hmm.
I feel like the odds are
always in your favor.
50-50. Oh, <everything. laughs> No, that was fun. But based on these notes, do I have any commanders that I guess have anything in common based on their win rates? And I do think that the decks that I play that have the higher win rates do have some sort of a combo element associated with them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So looking at my Hapatra, I mean, even just like Hapatra, who had a 60% win rate, I have Machias and Triskelion in the deck. As just like, if all else fails, I guess there's this.
Right.
Some of our patrons told me that is a trashy combo.
Some of those patrons probably died to that combo.
Some of them probably died to that combo. The Locust God has Sage of the Falls.
Right.
And Sage of the Falls, and I do run Kozilek Butcher of Truth, so I can cycle through my entire deck until I have enough bugs to just swing for the win.
Yep.
There's a couple more than just that. Edric is infinite turns. Omnath, Locus of Rage is probably one of my more fair decks at a 50% win rate. It just does all the things.
Yeah.
Getting 5/5s at Lightning Bolt on death is not nothing.
No, and you very repeatedly have cast Omnath for like the fifth time in a game, just like every time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there was one time where I ever got to cast Escape Shift, and it felt so good to sack 12 lands and go get 12 more.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
To get 60 power.
Oh my gosh. And then if the anger was in the graveyard, the stars aligned.
Yeah.
And I went to town, and I probably also had a Goblin Bombardment afterwards just to finish it off.
Yeah.
Ugh. Perforos, God of the Forge.
It's a good deck.
Such a good deck for someone who, if someone's trying to learn how to play Commander, that's a really good, I would suggest red-green for that Omnath deck. I don't know. I think it's easy.
If they are coming from another format, then I'll say yes. If this is their first format, I don't know if landfall is what you want to do. But then again, I'll look at the list of commanders that you have here. And what would I give to a brand new player? Like, even Morisi is pretty complicated for a brand new
player. Morisi is complicated. Yeah. I don't think Morisi is easy.
But I don't know. Maybe Tulsimir. Fighting's even complicated sometimes.
Fighting?
Where's your dumb stuff deck? You need a dumb stuff deck.
What do you mean?
You need a deck where it's just like, I want to cast spells and then swing. Maybe Nikia.
That's kind of Nikia.
But Nikia also has like combos and stuff in it with the mana with Magus of the Candelabra and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
there's some. Mm-hmm. Sure. I've got, I think, is it Lay Weaver or is it Lore Weaver? One of the Weavers also untaps two lands.
Is that the partner one from Battle Bond?
Yeah, and I can't play them both, obviously, because mm-hmm. it's blue and green. But I do play that because untapping the land when they tap for 6 or 12 mana, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think the most of the... So I had Nykia out. I had out...
Nyx Bloom Ancient,
and the one that gives you the Monarch. Regal Behemoth. All at one time. And that felt really good trying to do all that math.
Mm-hmm.
Still lost it, but it but it did feel
really
good. But it was a lot of mana. You know, some other decks, a lot of my decks did, you know, they went away. They went away this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, some of them, Duretti Scrap Savant, 50% win rate. It was playing Karn and Mycosynth Lattice, and mm-hmm. then I took that out, and then it just became throw big thing in graveyard, bring it back, and it just wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I had another mono red deck anyway, so I said, all right, you know, Duretti can come apart.
Yeah, and it has so many good artifacts that you want to throw in all your other decks anyways too.
I got so many artifacts out of that. Slimefoot I did play quite a bit this year. I mean I played it 7 times with a 42% win rate. Mm-hmm. So Slimefoot, very fun, really, really, I think, an underrated and someone, a commander that I don't typically see that I end up playing against. But let's talk about the decks that I did play against.
Yes.
So I played against 321 unique commanders or commander pairs mm-hmm. this year. So funny enough, the commanders that I played against the most. So I was so I hadn't seen any of the data, and mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to look at a ton of it mm-hmm. throughout the year, because I was like, I just want to be surprised. Mm-hmm. So my assumption was going to be that your decks were likely going to be the ones that I played against the most, because we stream every single Thursday.
That's right.
And the number one deck that I did play against was in fact yours.
Yes.
But they were not all yours.
Not all of them, no.
No, and the funny thing is most of these commanders I only saw at the beginning of the year because I know they're from our local meta, and mm-hmm. those folks were not playing online with me towards the end of the year. Mm-hmm. So the deck that I played against the most,
mm-hmm.
would you care to share?
Oh, it's the second best color combination in Magic.
Okay. So we got Sultai.
Yeah, that's right. It is a theme that was introduced in 2020.
Yeah, one that I like to kill on sight now.
That is right. So this is the Otremi Sultai Mutate deck.
Right, right. So, and I didn't play just against yours. So the other thing to note is when I was gathering all this data, if I played against multiple of one deck in a pod, it counts as playing against it twice. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do about that. It's just the number of times that I saw it when it was in one of the spots on my spreadsheet as opponent 1, 2, or 3. Mm-hmm. So I know you have that. Leslie has it from Tap That MTG. I know I've played against I believe Parker, one of our patrons, mm-hmm. I believe has an Otremi deck. So Otremi was the number one deck that I played against. But funny enough, I had mentioned Slimefoot. I played against Slimefoot 18 times as well.
Yeah, that's interesting to see.
So we do have a friend in our local meta who does play a Slimefoot deck. Mm-hmm. And so when they had built their Slimefoot deck, that was the only deck they played for like many, many games, mm-hmm. many weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason Slimefoot's there. But then following up, we've got 17 games against Yarrick, the Desecrated, 16 games against Nin, the Pain Artist. This one surprised me. 14 games against a Clothis deck.
Yeah. I can only think of one person.
It's in our local meta.
Yeah.
And that, when I look on the spreadsheet, it was like 9 games in a row with Clothis because they had just got it. They kept fine tuning it and every week that we would play. So Clothis, I played against 13 Morophon decks, 12 Golos, 12 Sig River Cutthroat, 12 Rayhan and Ravos, and 11 Nicol Bolas the Ravager decks.
Yeah. I know that Nicol Bolas the Ravager, I know it had a little bit to do with it, but not completely.
No. And I guess the remaining games that I played at least 10 times or more against was a Queen Marchesa deck 11 times. Selenia Dark Angel, I don't know how many other people get to say that they played against that 11 times, but mm-hmm. I lost to Selenia a couple mm-hmm. of times too. Alela, Kenrith, and then Yuriko the Tiger's Shadow. Mm-hmm. So those were all the decks that I played at least 10 times.
Yeah.
And then I have many decks that I played against, obviously two or more times, but obviously, the majority of the decks, I played against was only a single time.
Right.
I would say the majority I played against was just a single time, but because I got to play online and I wasn't playing with just my local meta, I think I saw way more commanders than I ever would have seen had we not.
Oh, for sure.
Started playing Commander online. So, specifically, if I take a look at the numbers for a single game against that Commander, 128 of the Commanders I played against just a single time. So,
well, that's cool though. Have all those unique Commanders in there.
I mean, I've played against Phage the Untouchable, Mina and Den Wildborn, Kozlek the Great Distortion. I got to play against a Judith the Scourge Diva. That was really cool. A Felden deck. This is the first year I got to see Darien, King of Kel'jor.
Oh yeah, that's
that
a
was
good
on
one.
Stream with Jen and Dan, Jen and Donnie from MTG Filthy Casuals. Mm-hmm. Ben Aki Hermit. I played against that.
Oh, Landfall.
Is it Landfall?
I think it's the one that's Is that the one that's anti Landfall? No, maybe it's not.
No,
Ben is you get mana for like untapped, or you could do damage for untapped lands or something like that. It's a weird one.
It is very weird. Shattergang Brothers. I got to play against one Prismatic Piper deck.
Oh.
That was it. Prismatic Piper by itself.
What color?
I'm pretty sure it was white.
Interesting choices.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I did play against that. Crick Son of Yawgmoth, funny enough, I only played against it once, which was kind of nice though. Not going to complain about that.
Yeah. I don't think I played that even last year, like once. Maybe I played it once. No, I probably played it once. It was probably against me. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know.
One time I played against Bear's Companion, but it should have been two.
It should have been two.
Should have been two. Cause that was your deck for our Popper games.
Just, I did win that other game. Just that.
Oh, did you? Okay, so you have a 50-50 win with your Popper deck. Right. So a Sirku, Demir Lobotomist. So lots of decks that I only played against once and many that I haven't seen in a long time. Marath, Will of the Wild, mm-hmm. I never see those out there mm-hmm. anymore. So this was really cool. So some notes when I was going through this. One, tracking. I had many typos.
Okay.
So I had to do a lot of cleanup because I did not, when I started this, I did not create a database with like mm-hmm. lock cells to select it. I was manually typing them in, but once you type it once, you can type it again.
Right.
But I had spelled Omnath Locust of Rage, mm-hmm. Locus of Rage. Mm-hmm. I probably typed Omnom at one point.
Got it.
But I was told that I typed Koodle instead of Kaidel.
Mm, mm-hmm.
just some typos there. And some other fun things. Nick was very proud. He was very happy to tell me that if Sidri, he has a Sidri Galvanic Genius deck, if it was in a game, I did not win.
I see that. Actually, I was gonna make mention that you have a new most hated commander now past Najeela, and it's Sidri Galvanic Genius.
I have never won a game if Sidri is in
2020.
In 2020. I did not, and I haven't played against it this year yet.
Sidri Caltrops, what are you gonna do?
I was playing a lot of swing to win then.
Yeah.
So I could not swing to win because you keep up that Caltrops with Sidri. And Sig River Cutthroat, again, that's another one of the decks in our local metagame. So I was seeing a lot of those. But I'm surprised I did not see more of some decks. Like Alenda the Duskrose, I played against six times. I feel like I played against it more than six. It probably was only six. But it just because of how good the deck is,
right.
I feel like I would have seen it more. The Locust God, I only played against six times, though.
You only played against it. Okay.
I figured I would have seen that one more as well.
I mean, it's kind of a fun Izzet deck, but I think people are more leaning towards like Niv-Mizzet and stuff when it comes to Izzet.
For the amount of trash talk that goes towards like Chulainn, Teller of Tales, I did not play against it very much.
Well, maybe that's why, because there's so much trash talk against it.
There's so much trash talk. They're just like, no, I guess we're not going to play this anymore.
We're not going to build it anymore.
So looking at all this data, and obviously we can share a lot of this. We'll share a lot of this information. Mm-hmm. I do see a lot of updates that I can make to decks. I can raise the power of some, like Tibor and Lumia. I really enjoy that deck. Two times I've cast Discontinuity to stop turns so that either I wouldn't die or I didn't have to discard. I played against your Xur'zoth deck and was like, you're going to make me discard Discontinuity, so I'm going to end the turn
because
it was the only card in my hand.
Yeah.
I stopped it the other just a couple of weeks ago because I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm just going to end this turn. And every time you play it, feels really cool. Don't know if the card's that great, but I'm going to continue playing it. Mm-hmm. But I think that deck needs, I don't know if it needs a combo element or if it just needs to play more good stuff.
Mm.
But Spellslinger decks, I don't think are the easiest thing to play.
No, they're not.
They're very, very difficult to play.
Well, especially, I mean, you built it on a budget too, so...
That's not originally. Anymore. Originally, it was not a budget.
So we call it an upgraded budget deck now. You can upgrade it more. You'll get there.
I could make some significant changes to that deck. I do think that if I want to, like decks that I like playing a lot are the Locust God. I think that is a, it's just too strong the way that I have it built. I think there's so much synergy with just drawing a card in the Locust God itself that I need to take out. Like I probably should take out the Sage of the Falls. I don't know if I have to have that Kozlek, but it's really nice to know that if I accidentally get milled, I'm just going to get it all back.
Right.
Zindersplit and Oaken is probably right at that level where I want it, but I could probably do a bit more. You're already against the odds with your coin flips. Anyway, and then decks like Veto, Thorn of the Duskrose, I wasn't playing them because I thought it was too consistent, but I only played eight games with it. I won four and I lost four, and I did not always get the combo when I won.
Right.
So I think that I am at that point where I'm afraid that I'm playing too high, but it might actually be at the right level because I feel like I did lower my personal deck power level, in my opinion, because I was afraid it was too high when in reality, it probably was fine.
Right. Well, and if you're a professional statistician and you go, you can't make a reasonable argument out of eight games played. Okay. You're right. Because that's what statistics say. I mean, you have to play way more games in order to get a good value. So again, maybe it was winning a lot before you made your downgrades or whatever. And now it's at a good level. The only way to tell is to continue on.
Right. No, I agree. So let's talk about changing what we're tracking. So you're going to start tracking this year.
Yes.
And I'm also going to start tracking keep tracking my games this year.
Mm-hmm.
But things that I'm going to add, I want to add one, the names of all the folks that I played against, the turn order, who started. And so I'm always going to track myself as like the player and then go around the table with the people who are next in line.
Okay.
I want to determine the themes of the deck. So ask each, like if my Torbran deck is a burn theme, so I'm just going to put like burn, but you can play Kenrith like Reanimator or Kenrith Monarch or Kenrith good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to add a theme just to see if that makes a difference. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Some basic notes. And then I've seen some spreadsheets from multiple other people. So I've seen some spreadsheets from MTG Lexicon. We have some of our patrons that shared theirs. There are things like that people are tracking, like the fate of each player. So who won, and then when the person lost, how they lost. Was it commander damage? Was it to a combo? Was it to regular? Or was it like, what did someone get burned or mm-hmm. milled, or how did they lose? So I think that's really good information to have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I want to get as granular as, was there a soul ring and how early was it? It gets really difficult. Sure. I've seen some people ask for things like that. But I'm tracking the deck that wins mm-hmm. because I did not track that this year. It is something in hindsight, I would have gone back and done it, but it was too, I think I was like 30 or 40 games in at that point. Yeah. And I just could not remember every single winner.
Yep.
I probably could have done a pretty good job of just selecting the one that was pretty close to winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm curious to see which ones did win
right.
the most. So that's something that I'd like to see next year. Is there anything else that you're going to be tracking or seeing this now that you would want to have seen?
So the thing that just kind of popped up into my head is like a column. You said like short notes, but if you could keyword those notes and just like be able to do a drop down and just say like lots of board wipes or something. And so you could just make note of, oh, I was playing a creature based deck and there was lots of board wipes in this game. I lost. Okay, that correlation makes sense or something. So having columns with these keywords of what type of game it was, I guess. Was there a lot of control? Did I almost win? Did I get countered? Did my win condition get countered? Something like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think having first, second, third, and fourth place, although those aren't mm-hmm. things, that's not like a thing.
But they're kind of.
They're kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
At least we have it when we would play with our leagues. You would have all the first players or the winners would play together, and then everybody came in second would play together, third and fourth, and so on. But the issue there was, if someone went with a combo, how did everybody else's turn go? So right. we said you would have lost in turn order. Mm-hmm. So if you were next in line, you would lose first, second. Mm-hmm. So you had fourth, then third, then second is kind of how they had done it. But so knowing if I lost first,
mm-hmm.
does that mean that I was the problem and they had to take me out? Because sometimes coming in fourth is flattering, because mm-hmm. you're like, well, I almost got there and they had to all go right. for me because right. I was gonna get, or does coming in second mean, well, I was able to stave it, you know? So I'm curious to see how many decks get taken out first as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, because you have decks like, you have your Lazav deck that you have built, which has a low win percentage, like 18%, but I bet if you look at the placements, it's like first place or fourth place, and that's it.
Yeah, it's possible that I could have gone last almost every time right. with a certain deck too. And it's like, well, if you already have a slow deck and you're going last, you may have already been at a significant disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so I guess my final thoughts on all this is that playing online as opposed to my local metagame really showed me a lot of commanders that I don't think I would have seen
mm-hmm.
that really changed up a lot because I didn't know how to play against them. There's also that aspect.
Right.
We've recently seen Kodoma the East Tree and like a Kamal deck, and I didn't know how to play. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do against at least that one specific deck. So I think I had a lot of, obviously there were, I think it was 128 single time commanders,
right.
and it might have been a lot of those were my first time playing against them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do against them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I went in blind and did my thing. So next year I might know how to play against those.
Oh, are you going
to
bring up your notes like before a pod? It's like, ooh, what did I do against this person last
Well,
time?
That'll have to be in 2022 because I didn't keep notes like that specifically this year.
fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
So if you track your games, share that with us, and we're going to be doing this episode each year now.
Yeah.
Because we'll be tracking our games a lot, with a lot more data, and then we can see compare win rates, and obviously we'll have a bunch of games that overlap as well, and we can see how often you lose to my Locust God deck and I lose to your Kenrith deck.
Wonderful.
I'm excited. Well, we want to thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast online at theguardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find our social media on Twitter at guardianpod and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject. Or you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. You can find me personally on Twitter at @ATFlory.
You can find me on Twitter at @WormcoilEngine. And we want to throw a special thanks to our producer and editor, Ryan Nichols. And also, we want to give another special thanks. We're going to toss this one rather than throw it. Toss it over to Chris Wolf, who handles our graphic design. Thank you. And all of our thumbnails and everything for our beautiful, beautiful YouTube channel.
All of our graphic design. It's pretty great.
It's awesome.
Well, we will chat with you all next week. Have a wonderful week.
Bye-bye.